Adventures in Research. The next time you look at a newspaper, book, or magazine, notice that every line is exactly the same length. They all begin and end just right, one below the other. Printers call it justifying, and it's one of those little things we all take for granted. But getting a machine to set type this way wasn't so easy. One man spent 20 years and $2.5 million, turned out one of the most ingenious devices in the entire history of mechanical invention, and produced a colossal mistake. This is the story of patent number 547860. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of an invention that has been called one of the best examples of the high potential of the human mind. Yet, it dissipated several fortunes, drove men to insanity, and turned out to be completely useless. Let us begin our story one day in the early 1890s at the home of a Mr. James Page.
Now, James, stop pacing the floor. Sit down, can't you?
What time is it?
It's 2 minutes since you asked me the last time. Now, do sit down. I swear you'll wear a path in the carpet.
Why isn't he here? He told me he'd stop in at 2 o'clock. If there's one thing I like in a man, it's promptness.
Well, perhaps he got tied up with some friends. After all, a famous man like he
is. Famous. You just wait, Maud. When my machine is on the market, we'll see who the famous one is. Why, they'll be talking about me like Bell or Edison. The city of Rochester will sit up and take notice of James Page.
Oh, James, will you sit down and stop looking out the window? You're pulling my lace curtains out of shape.
Oh, where is he? Where is he? I mean, after all, he said he wanted to see the machine.
Well, goodness gracious, James. A big, important man like Mark Twain has more...
That must be him. That's it. Answer the door, Maud. No. I'd better. No, you'd better. How do I look?
You look just fine. Now, don't get excited.
I'm as calm as can be. I wish you'd quit telling me to stop being excited.
Just a minute. I'm coming. Well, good luck, James. And remember now, don't...
Don't worry about me. If he can't see what a tremendous invention it is, somebody else will. After all, it isn't every day an invention like this comes along. If Mark Twain doesn't have the sense to appreciate it, it's his loss, not mine.
Won't you come in? You must be Mark Twain. Why, Mr. Twain, I've read so many of your books, and I never thought I'd have the chance to meet you in person.
Well, I'm honored, ma'am. Oh, Mr. Page, good to see you again.
Mr. Twain, you're late.
Eh? Oh, well, upon my word, perhaps I am. Frankly, I feel lucky to have been able to get here at all. But you know me. Let me hear of somebody inventing something, and I'm like a kid at the circus.
Here, Mr. Twain, let me take your hat. My goodness, a real, live, honest-to-goodness author in our own home, James.
Yes, Maud.
You know, I don't believe I've ever met an author before.
Maud.
I mean, a really successful one.
Maud, excuse me, please. If you will leave Mr. Twain and myself, I would like to get right down to business.
Yes, if you will. I'm in a bit of a hurry. I'm supposed to meet my publisher this afternoon, and I really shouldn't have come here at all. But, well, I just can't resist a new mechanical device.
This is not just a new mechanical device, Mr. Twain.
Oh.
It is an invention that's going to revolutionize printing. Not since Gutenberg invented movable type has there been anything like it.
Well, where is it? I'm anxious to see it.
All in due time, Mr. Twain, due time. You'll have to let me explain it in my own way.
Well, if we can speed things along. I have an appointment, and I do understand roughly what your invention is supposed to do.
I doubt that you do, sir. Only I fully comprehend the machine and understand the exacting technical details of it. Do you have any mechanical aptitude, Mr. Twain?
No, afraid not. It's just that I like to tinker. Well, let me say that I'm interested. Curious, you know. Why, when the typewriter first came on the market, I was interested right off. Even wanted to invest in it. Why, they tell me that I was the first author to write a manuscript on the typewriter. Imagine that.
My invention will make the typewriter as out of date as plowing with oxen. Now, let me begin.
Yes, if we can. I don't like to rush, but...
Mr. Twain, may I remind you, I am the inventor. As a potential investor in my machine, I want you to fully understand what it can do. Now then, consider the problem. For nearly 100 years, man has sought to compose type by machine. Yet every attempt has left the basic problems unsolved. Until today. Until I put my own mind to it and solve every possible problem that has confronted inventors in both Europe and America for almost a century.
Yes, I know about the
typesetting. Please let me finish. Now, the problems were these. A piece of type must be picked up from a compartment in a case. It must be carried to the frame from which the impression is to be made and dropped at the end of a line. Then the machine must repeat these complex motions until a second single piece of type is inserted, and so on. Spaces must be inserted between the words which are formed until a full line is completed. A line of characters and spaces. Now, these are but minor problems.
Minor.
Consider this. All the lines of type must be of equal length. If the line ends in the middle of a word, that word must be either removed or added.
I see.
So our spaces between the other words must be rearranged, made thick or thin, to exactly fill the amount of space in the line. It is that problem that has baffled the scientist for 100 years.
I understand all this, Mr. Page, but may I see the machine in operation? If it is what you claim, then I'll be only too happy to invest what funds I can and see that your machine is successful. But I must first see it in operation.
Mr. Twain, follow me. Sure. I shall show you what few men have seen. The Page distributing, setting, and justifying type machine. 20 years, Mr. Twain. 20 years I've been working on this. Why, the keyboard alone took me 10 years of constant study. Ah, and now, Mr. Twain, here it is. Gaze upon it.
Great day in the morning. It's monstrous.
Monstrous? Monstrous? It's beautiful. 18,000 separate parts, 800 shaft bearings, more than 3 tons, Mr. Twain, yet so precise it requires only 1/12 of a horsepower to run it. Now, Mr. Twain, I shall show you how it operates. First, I turn it on. Get started, Mr. Twain, you shall say. The machine thinks for itself. Yes, that's what you'll say. Now then, observe this keyboard.
Yeah.
10 years of work and study just for the keyboard, Mr. Twain. By the proper strokes, it will write not a letter at a time, mind you, but a word at a time. Think of it, a word at a time. Mm-hmm. Now, kindly watch. Observe that I am now setting into type the first line. Note, Mr. Twain, that I'm using all of my fingers in different places on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Now, when the machine arrives at the end of the line, it stops, and I go on to the next line. And now the machine does what many have claimed is impossible. For while I am setting the next line of type, the machine is calculating.
What?
Yes, actually has a calculating machine to compute the amount of space occupied by each word in the line. It divides that into the total space in the line and determines the exact amount of space needed between each and every word.
It's amazing.
Now, there, it's finished. Here, you see?
This is the line of type you set there. All spaced out and ready, eh? Now, let me see. It says, "This is a sample of the work of the greatest invention of all time."
And indeed, if size and complexity had anything to do with greatness, James Page's invention was mammoth. All 3 tons of it, all 18,000 separate parts of it, and all 20 years of constant work on it. As to a detailed explanation of how it operated, no man living can say. There are records of it at the patent office.
Patent number 547860. Granted this 15th day of October, 1895.
The patent application contained 204 sheets of drawings, over 1,000 separate views. Before it was finally granted, attorneys argued, examiners checked, and the investors held their breath.
Now see here, Mr. Armbruster, if you can't handle the matter, I will see that we find an attorney who can. You're supposed to have a knowledge of patent law.
Mr. Page, why don't you find some other attorney? Check the entire city. See if you can find one attorney who will even listen to you. It took all the persuasion of your entire group to get me to take this. No one regrets it more than I do. Now, if you'll just tell me what I want to know.
I'm trying to tell you, sir, but I refuse to be bullied and badgered.
Look, we have to explain how the machine works. You are the only one who can do it. Already we have filled 2,000 sheets of paper explaining this machine of yours, trying to put it down in clear, simple English.
Mr. Armbruster, how many times do I have to be subjected to this? I've explained and explained again. I've told you how each part works until I can recite it in my sleep. This is the fifth time I've gone through this.
In 50 years of patent law, I have never seen anything like it. Do you know why we have to go over this again and again? Do you think I enjoy it? The last two times you explained it to the attorneys, didn't you? And they tried to explain it to the patent office. Do you know where those two attorneys are now? Both in the asylum. That's where they are. Now, I don't say that your invention drove them there, but never in the history...
There is nothing complicated about my machine, and I refuse to be bullied and badgered. It's the greatest invention of the century, and any fool should be able to see that. If you can't, I'll find another attorney.
Time and effort and money was poured into Page's amazing machine. Before he had finished the first working model, the backers had spent $1,300,000, and another million was spent in getting the patent details arranged. One death and two cases of insanity occurred among the examiners, but Page never stopped working, improving, redesigning, rebuilding his great invention that would set, justify, and distribute foundry type. It was the most complicated machine that had ever been patented up to that time. And what happened to it, you ask? History records the answer, and chances are the end came in a conversation something like this.
Well, Mr. Page, there's the patent. Now, what about production on these machines? If they're to earn anything, they'll have to be mass-produced for newspapers, magazines...
Oh, but, Mr. Armbruster, I'm sure we can never produce machines like this on a large scale. We'd have to build thousands of other machines to construct the parts for it. There are 18,000 parts, you know.
You mean... we'd have to build thousands of other machines to make one more of these?
Yes, and then assemble the parts. It might be done, but as for now...
But, Mr. Page, when you built this, didn't you ever think of mass production? Where else is the good of a machine that sets and justifies type unless you sell enough of them to become useful?
Why, Mr. Armbruster, we can start small. Get an order for a machine and I'll build another one. And then when that job is finished,
Mr. Page, this machine has taken 20 years. And another thing, I've seen this machine of yours work and it works well. But I've never seen anyone else operate it. It just occurs to me, is anyone else able to operate this machine?
Anyone else? Anyone else? How absurd. No one else can operate my machine. No one else can service it. Well, you're mad, man. Raving mad. Only I understand my machine.
And so ended James Page's glorious achievement and miserable failure. Patent number 547860. Not until Ottmar Mergenthaler and his idea of the casting of type was the mechanical typesetting problem licked, and James Page's attempt goes down in history as a colossal failure, but still an interesting adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.